As we continue in worship, we're going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. We've been reading in the Gospel of Luke the last few weeks, so we're continuing in that. And today we're going to be reading the Transfiguration story. It's usually the scripture that we read right before we head into the season of Lent. Luke 9, 29 through 43b. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. But since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, because he was kind of sleep talking, you know. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days they told anyone of the things they had seen. On the next day they came down from the mountain. A great crowd met him. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." And Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the greatness of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this time of worship, for an opportunity to gather together in this place to be as a community of faith, singing songs and just seeing each other's face and being in the presence of one another and in your spirit. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I mean, as we were kind of looking at the calendar before, we were like, wow, you know, Lent's not until March. We have so much time. Well, Lent's already here. Can you believe it? Like, it's already March. Like, it's come quickly. We're 1/6 of the way through 2025 before we are, you know, just finishing up 2024. Over the past few weeks, we've been reading some of the teachings of Jesus as found in the Gospel of Luke. There have been scriptures that were not only relevant for the times of Jesus, but also for our time today as we live as disciples. The ways in which Jesus came to serve the least and the last and the lost, the oppressed, the outcast, the immigrant. As we prepare for the next season of the church calendar, in which we'll travel towards Jerusalem and the cross, it begins with what is known as Transfiguration Sunday. From the Sermon on the Plain, in which Jesus came down from the mountain to teach his disciples of what it means to be blessed and what it means to be a learner and a follower of his, now he's taken a few of the disciples back up a mountain to pray. And while up on the mountain, something happened. Many of us have had moments as such. Those moments in which we felt that we were on the top of the mountain, excited, confident, almost as if we were standing on top of the world. There's this peace that comes when we're in places like that where we can see things from at a distance, the sunrise or the sunset. or across the waters. You're on top of the mountain. You're looking across the waters, almost as far as it looks like the world is just turning down. You can't see any further. Or a view into the sky in which it looks like nothing separates you from the stars. From the mountain, we can see further and with a different perspective. We hear differently. We can often feel closer to the Creator. We experience a hope that all things are as they should be. Maybe you've had those mountaintop moments, those moments in which you felt really close to God. You were really in tune with God's plan. Those moments that we are excited and alive, that everything seems new and refreshing and right in the world. We often have these revelations from the higher views because we experience things differently. In the church, they talk about go to the balcony. I'm sure Clyde sees church, whoever's working the slide sees church differently from the balcony than you do from your seat. You see who's greeting who and who's not greeting who and who's here and who's not here and all of those different things you get from a balcony view than from the seat view. You experience things differently. As you look back over your life, can you picture any moments like this? Moments in time that we like to capture a photo or video. We are quick to do that nowadays. We have them in our cameras in our pockets constantly. We want to tuck those moments away in our heart so that we don't forget them. We want to hold on to them so we can go back to them over and over and over again, especially in those moments that are challenging in our life. What's the moment for you? What moment comes to mind? Maybe it's a graduation or watching a graduation or a first day of a dream job or a wedding or birth of a child. Maybe it was a spiritual experience, a worship service, a Bible study, a camp or retreat. Maybe it was nature. Maybe it was a conversation that you felt that you could honestly and understand that someone understood your feelings and what you were saying to them. This morning's text is woven in such a way that we're given a glimpse as to what it means to have a life forever changed by the knowledge and the presence of God. The story of the Transfiguration is how we often get that term, a mountaintop experience. In the Transfiguration story, Jesus is move beyond the roles other people tried to give him and live into the role that God had in store for him. In the scriptures, just prior to the Transfiguration, Jesus performed some miracles, but he had also predicted his own death. But the disciples did not understand. They did not comprehend what Jesus was talking about. Jesus knew where he had come from and where he was going, and the Transfiguration story talks about this change. Not only Jesus' change, but our change as we live and follow him as disciples. Often when we have situations in which we want to take a video and capture, we want to kind of build a moment around that so that we stay there. We hold on to it. It's our first instinct. We don't want to go back. It's where we're most comfortable. It's the way we want to see Jesus and Jesus to see us. Simon Peter wanted to seize that moment of glory on the mountain and build booths to stay there. He wanted to stay on the mountain of high spiritual experience and eliminate struggle and doubt. But some experiences cannot be captured or held back. The Transfiguration showed that Jesus was different than what the disciples first believed. The word transfiguration is a word from which we get our word metamorphosis. It's about a change from the inside out, a change that can be painful, one that's hard to understand, one that is beyond our personal expectations. That's what happened here. There was an experience that was beyond the personal expectation of who and what they thought Jesus was to be, and to learn to listen to who Jesus was and would come to be. And as they listened, they were changed. You see, it's all right to be in the moment. It's all right to capture it, to freeze, but to freeze it is something that shuts us off to the next moment that God could be at work in our life. Every encounter with a human being has the potential to be destructive or to be holy. When people or groups encounter each other, they either deal with death, they either deal death or give life. And we're transfigured and transformed by God's grace when we're able to extend life to others. Peter wanted to stay on the mountain. He wanted to build the booth and be there and bask in God's glory forever. But Jesus knew that God's glory was not just on the mountain, but down in the valleys with the people. With the people in relationship. People who are struggling. Maybe with their own private demons. Right as Jesus and his disciples came off the mountain, they experienced the needs of the world. And they found it in this boy who was having epileptic seizures. And the mother and father were worried and upset and didn't know what to do. And when they saw Jesus, they went towards Jesus and said, "Help." We live in a time where people need the presence of Jesus to help, to walk with them, to be with them in the tough moments that come with everyday life, with grief and despair, maybe overcoming addiction, maybe any number of things, sickness and disease. Life in this world is tough. And we live in a time where people need and are wanting and desiring the presence of Jesus. It's no accident that this story that we read is right before we head into this season of Lent. It's like as if this scripture was purposely recorded in the Gospels in the midst of the experience of and sufferings and prophecies of death. And that's where we find Revelation. William Barclay notes that in religion there must be solitude, that Jesus takes a couple of the disciples and they go up to the mountain and pray, but William Barclay then says there must not be isolation. The solitude is necessary for one to keep contact with God, but if we just isolate ourselves in our search for solitude, then we shut ourselves off from one another, and then we shut our ears to the appeal of brothers and sisters for help. And if we shut our hearts to the cries and the tears of things, then that's not religion. The solitude is not meant to make us solitary or isolated. It is meant to help us to be better able to meet and cope with the demands of everyday life. And it may feel like The world is beyond saving. Disaster after disaster, brokenness, hurt, war, disease, oppression. Sometimes it feels like hope can be a roller coaster even among folks who join together for worship over and over again. But the good news is, and I believe our only hope is that we lean upon God who comes to us in Jesus and who comes to us again and again and again and rescues God's people. Jesus, I bless you. Jesus understood that. The Gospels have him regularly retreating for solitude, but also being present with people and with community. And so as we begin our Lenten journey, may we be attentive to the ways in which the world needs us. The world is calling for the church to be present, and how will the church respond? As we move through this season, there'll be opportunities for worship and with sacraments and prayer and fellowship and service and study that would hope that our hope that it helps weary disciples find hope. May we listen and may we imitate Jesus' life, reflecting and expanding God's light to all the nations. In the middle of a long night, God gives us hope. And that's what the Transfiguration is all about. Dispirited disciples. It's exactly what dispirited disciples needed in that moment. It's what we need as well. In the middle of the long night, God is still God. Christ is still Lord. And beyond the darkness, whatever that darkness may be, there is dawn. And so instead of trying to create booths and stay in that moment forever, may the church be a place that heads to where people are calling to meet God through our brothers and sisters who need us most. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your opportunity to gather together in this place, in this big tent that we have here, that we can gather to meet you each and every week. But God, you don't just call us to this place to find solitude and peace, but you call us back out into the world where people are crying out for you. May we have eyes and ears to hear. May we have hearts open to share your good news. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.